Board of Education special called session, call to order. Roll call, Ms. Ford.
Chairman Welch.
Here.
Vice Chairman Horn.
Here.
Mr. Galloway.
Here.
Dr. Highlander.
Here.
Dr. Martin.
Here.
Ms. Mosley.
Here.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Mr. Testerman.
Here.
Ms. Thurman.
Here.
Interim Superintendent Kelly.
Here.
First item on our agenda is the budget. Ms. Jordan has sent us a couple of different budgets to peruse since the county has asked us to come back with a balanced budget. At this time, because I believe there were several board members with questions, I will open this up for discussion.
Can I make a motion first?
You can make
I'd like to move that we accept budget number one, option one.
I second it.
We have a motion by Mr. Testerman, a second by Ms. Horn to approve budget number one, option one. Discussion? Ms. Thurman?
Yes. I would like to break this up. Instead of voting on it all at once, I would like to be able to vote for the raise. Apart from the budget, I think these need to, since we are increasing the salary base. Am I correct? Okay. Since we are doing that, I think we need to vote on these separately and not just in one fatal swoop. Vote on the increase and then vote on the budget.
Are you making a
Yes, I would like to make that. Yes, motion. I would like to make a substitute motion that we vote on these independently, the budget and the, also the salary.
We have a substitute motion by Ms. Thurman that we separate the salary component from the budget that we vote on. Do we have a...
I'll make a second, and then I'd like to ask a question.
We have a motion, a second on the floor. I will come down the line to you. I'm just going to come this way. Ms. Thurman, did you have another comment now the discussion's open?
No, but I just, like I say, I think since we're increasing the base on the salary, that this is something that we should do independently, because there may be some that would want to vote for this that may not want to vote for the budget and vice versa.
Mr. Ricks, did you have a...
I'm just trying to figure out the logic behind this, that motion. I'm trying to, you know, see where you... I know you said we're going to vote separate them, but I'm just saying... I want to know what the logic behind that.
Well, because some people might want to vote for this that may not want to vote for the budget, or vice versa. Some people may want to vote for the budget, but you can't vote for the budget without this unless you vote for the other option. But that's the reason why.
Okay. Thank you.
And I guess my question is this, and I second that, Ms. Thurman, but what amount of money are we talking about there? Are you talking about the $8.8
million?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what this.
I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
So which line are we on? I'm sorry.
That's folks. Advancement priorities, isn't that?
Yes.
Isn't that
where it's recruitment retention incentive, a 2% plus a 250.
It's the 5.5. Okay. Yeah, the 5.5 million actually.
Yeah, 5.5. Yeah.
Right.
On the
right.
Right next to 8.8.
I got you. Okay. And the 5.5, my question is, does that represent the 2% and plus the 250?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Dr. Highlander.
One statement. I have family affiliation in the school system, and I read the nepotism clause, and I promise you the fact that I have family affiliation has nothing to do with my vote.
That's something that's out there. Anybody that has family can declare that, and Ms. DeCamp has left that. How to state that here in a moment.
So, I also have a question. I'm not sure for whom. Maybe Christy. If the 2% would be across the board for everyone, is that right?
Yes, sir, except administrators. The administrative salary scale has not been increased, the administrative portion of the salary scale. So it would be equivalent to about 1.8%. About 10% less for administrators.
Okay. Let me clarify something that doing a little research brought to my attention, that when an administrator gets a 2% raise, it's not hypothetically of $100,000 administrator, $100,000. It's not 2% of that. It's 2% of what that administrator would have of his or her teacher base. Is that correct?
That's why it's 1.8 instead of 2.
That's why I understood. I want to. Thank you for clarifying. I just want to make sure I had it correct. Thank you very much.
Ms. Thurman?
Oh, no.
Mr. Ricks?
Oh, I just want to say thank you, Dr. Highlander, for clearing that up. I heard something similar to that. I want to make sure that what you said and what you asked and what you answered was a correct thing. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Ms. Thurman?
So someone had asked the question, Greg, it may have been you that asked the question, about $60,000, the administrator. Was that you that asked that question?
Well,
did you ever get that cleared?
No, I sent an email out to the board and to Dr. Kelly last week with, I guess it was 6 days ago, asking questions and never really got a response to it. As far as what we could do, if we did just raises for people that were at 50 or 60 or, you know, whatever. I wasn't necessarily suggesting a dollar amount, but just in theory, and I never really got a good answer on that in an email or anything. And I had some other questions that were never answered. You know, I just don't like the way we do budgets at all. And Chairman Welch, I would love to see us begin sometime in October or November to begin to look at the next year's budget, and that this board take more ownership. I mean, when we were presenting the budget a month ago, you know, I was given it 2 days, the packet, before we were asked to vote. And then last night I'm called and said, do you have any questions about the two proposals? I said, yeah, I asked my question 6 days ago. Nobody responded. You know, as far as, and I wasn't saying that wasn't necessarily what we needed to do. I just wanted answers. So I'm just real frustrated with the way we do business. I think we can do better. And I hope that we will going forward. And Dr. Welch, whoever our chairman is, if it's you or someone else next year, I would hope that we would take a more proactive approach. The way we do it is just totally unacceptable to me.
Well, I think someone had asked the question, like I thought it was Greg, like maybe the first $60,000, is that about what the administrators will be getting a raise on, is like the first $60,000 that they make?
It's on where they fall on the teacher scale. It depends on degree and experience, and that's why it averages out to about 1.8% of whatever they're making right now.
She's wrong, is right.
And Christy, when you say the teacher, the scale, you're meaning from the orange book, right?
Yes, ma'am.
The memorandum of agreement, memorandum of agreement.
I have a copy of that with me if anybody needs it, but... You know, to if you need to see what our current published scale, our salary scale looks like, I've got a copy with me.
No, yeah, and I've seen it. I was just wanting for clarification purposes so that the public understands that the current salary is based off of the what I call the orange book is the memorandum of understanding,
yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And then what we're basing that off now will be reflective of whatever the new collaboration is with collaborative conferencing. I guess is that how it's going to go. It'll be reflected in the I guess what I'm trying to say is, we used to have the orange book, but that went away with the collaborative conferencing. So in trying to finalize that, this is what will be reflective in that, correct? Or not correct?
Okay, the total scale is published, but I think the collaborative conferencing is only, you know, only reflects just the teacher scale.
Right.
And then you know that there was a section on that, which I have with me, that showed how the administrative portion of the salary was calculated. And currently it's in the, you know, currently it's all in the orange book.
Okay.
Could it?
Understanding, right.
Dr. Highlander.
Mike, make a point. I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. Assistant superintendents are like 1.71 on the scale. Is that correct, or 1.7 something?
Correct.
But and we're using the orange book until we change it. Correct. Right. Those are the percentages we're using until something's changed. But now the 1.71 or whatever it is, the administrators will get a 2% raise on the 1 point, not the 7, not the 0.7. Correct.
Okay, assistant superintendents are 1.78.
Yeah.
The the raise is not calculated just straight math. You've got to use, there are several components. What has not been increased in about 15 years is the administrative supplement portion of the raise. And so it depends on the number of years of experience that an administrator has, but it tops out at $4,250. So there is no raise on that portion of the administrative salary. And that's what makes it, that you know, less than 2%. That's part of the one of the things. That
okay. Thank you.
Mr. Testron.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a statement of clarification. Ms. Mosley brought up the Orange Book, and that's what we're working with, our current memorandum of understanding. And I know, just so our public and those that are here today would know, that we looked at those things and then individually, if you were able to come in and visit with Mr. McDade and with Ms. Christie, to see those things put in front of you, and we had the opportunity to ask any questions at that time. And I'm just satisfied with answering my questions, and I know it is a complicated formula, or seems to be, but it's really not. It's been the same formula that we use for years. Yeah. And I thank you for your work. Is that the Orange Book you were talking about?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
No further discussion. We have a motion by Ms. Thurman and a second by Dr. Martin to separate out the salary raise from the budget and vote on those separately. Roll call, Ms. Ford.
Mr. Galloway.
Yeah, I plan on voting for both, but I'm going to go ahead and vote yes on this, so that if someone is separately and wants to do it separately, I'm okay with that. I just I don't want to stifle anybody else from being locked into something. I hate the way that's done a lot of times with things. So
Dr. Highlander.
If Mr. Testerman is all right, the original, are you all right with that amendment, sir?
It's a substitute motion.
I would like
the
to
substitute
do,
amendment.
I would like it's to approve motion. The budget and the raises. That's my mine is for approval of option one. Okay. That's my motion.
At this time, we're voting on Ms. Thurman's substitute motion, though.
Yes.
So
I'll vote yes.
Ms. Horn?
No.
Dr. Martin?
Yes.
Ms. Mosley?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Testerman?
No.
Ms. Thurman?
Yes.
Chairman Welch?
Yes. So at this time, we've separated out the salary, the personnel component from the budget. Point of clarification. Can we, personnel dollars, Mr. Camp, personnel dollars, as long as they're allocated towards personnel, can be spent at wide discretion with the board?
Correct.
Is that something that, to satisfy the county commission, we have to decide tonight, or if the, or is that it's not is that something that has to be decided at this time, how those personnel dollars will actually be allocated?
I don't believe that it's that specific on the actual okay. on what the commission gets. I don't think it, the line items are that. I think the answer is no.
Okay. We need a let's take the budget first then. Do we have a motion on the floor or a motion to approve a budget or to approve a salary component?
Well, since option one does have the salary part in it, I don't have a matter of fact, I would like to vote for this. I just think we need to find the money somewhere else, because there's a lot of things in the budget that I just still do not like. There's things in the budget or not in the budget that I would like to see in the budget. Like I say, we always start new programs and we don't take care of what we have. But like I say, at Sail Creek, we still don't have the teachers that we need. Still don't have a Spanish teacher, still don't have an algebra teacher. We're cutting some of the classes at Sequoia, like diesel, the diesel program at Sequoia. There's things that are being cut, while we're adding on to the STEM school, we're adding on to some of these other programs, starting the new VW program, we're starting all that, and all that's great and wonderful. But somewhere along the line, some of these other kids are getting left in the dust, and I don't like that, because it seems like a lot of the people over on our side of the river that are not getting all these other perks are getting left out. And I just cannot vote for a budget that does not have those things in it. And like Greg said, of all the years I've been on the board, this is the worst year I've had as far as budget was concerned. We have had zero discussions about this. Also, we had discussions about cutting out Spanish, making the high school students not have to take 2 years of a foreign language. Where are the savings from that? Because when we implemented them, it cost us a lot. And are we going to stop that? Are we going to go to traditional scheduling? Are we going to stay at all block scheduling? We haven't discussed any of that stuff that could save us millions of dollars. And those are the places I would like to see the money put back in the school or back in teacher salaries and maybe still be able to do some of this other stuff. But we're going to have to change the way that we do business because this is not the way to run a railroad. I can tell you that right now.
You didn't make a motion, did you?
I think it was just
I'll make the motion to for the raise, but like I said, I would like to get the money elsewhere, in the budget that we have, the big budget book. I mean, some of these stuff is great, and we need to do it. But I just, like I say, we just haven't spent enough time on the budget to be able to find the money anywhere. Okay. There's a lot of money in a $400 million budget. You can find a few million around. Trust me, we've done it many times on this school board. When we need a few million, we can always find it. So I would like to make the motion to go ahead and vote for the proposed salary increase.
Second.
We have a motion by Ms. Thurman and a second by Mr. Ricks to support the salary increase.
So are we still voting separately? Is that what we're still doing?
Yes,
right
we
now?
Are voting separately.
Okay, I want to make sure I'm following correctly.
Do we have any more discussion? Roll call, Ms. Ford.
Mr. Galloway.
Yes, I need to declare. I have a daughter that works in the system, but I'm making this decision based on what I think is best for the system. I vote yes.
Dr. Highlander?
Yes.
Ms. Horn?
Yes.
Dr. Martin?
Yes.
Ms. Mosley?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
Yes.
Ms. Thurman?
Yes, and I have a nephew that works in the system, but I'm in the best interest of the Hamilton County Department of Education.
Chairman Welch?
Yes, and I have a relative that's employed with the Hamilton Department of Education, but I'm casting my vote in the best interest of the Department of Education. Next, now we have the second part. Do we have a motion?
Yes, I'd like to move that we do adopt option one, less what we've already voted on.
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Mr. Galloway and a second by Mr. Testerman. Discussion?
I just want to ask a question. I'm the next one here. This TIF salary supplement, I never did get the question sent. What are the salary supplements for? $160,000?
Yes, ma'am. They're used to these salary supplements. Help recruit and retain teachers at the priority schools. I believe that there are seven of them. 13. How many? 13? There are 13 priority schools, and these help to recruit and retain teachers at those schools. We were having high turnover, and because these are hard to staff schools, and this is providing a supplement has helped us have less turnover at these schools.
Well, I can understand that, but I sure would like to see more emphasis put on retention of students in some schools. Like I say, $160,000 right there, that's a few teachers. I mean, while I can understand that, like I say, until we get some stuff up in our end of the county and we quit catering to the other side of the river so much, there's just no way I can vote for things like that. Like I say, I'm more concerned about the retention of students than I am retention of personnel at this point, because some of the students are getting left out of things that they desperately need in order to graduate, and I have a problem with that. And also, the ELL interpreters, the $560,000. Do we get any money from the state from that? Is that all state money? Is that all our money? Are we having to cover that whole thing for the Spanish-speaking students?
These are just the additional amounts. We do receive BEP funding for positions for ELL teachers and interpreters, but we are not at the recommended level of teachers and interpreters that we need. But as you know, the BEP does not cover the full cost of anybody's salary. So, but ELL is a component of BEP.
Yeah, but we're $500,000 over what the BEP allots for this. I mean, it's
these are for additional.
That's what I say. But we're $500,000 over what the state gives us money for ELL. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's $500,000 over what we currently have in the budget.
That's what I'm asking.
And
yes.
We have more in the budget than the state gives us. Yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Mosley.
Christy or Stacy, somebody. I know no one from the priority schools department is here. Can you all clarify, I guess, or maybe speak a little to the with the TIF salary supplements, the incentives for retention of our teachers? Can you all speak a little bit to how that's best practice in most areas as it pertains to that? And although this is a side note, speak to that, but I wanted to say this. Although we do need to focus, and we are focusing on retaining students, it is very key in focusing to retain the teachers to teach those students, because if you don't have the teachers to teach them, then they're not going to be there either. And just like I think we have to look at the broader picture, and we have all these schools in Hamilton County, and all of them are suffering with the loss of several things, because even these schools some of the schools that are being addressed as priority schools or maybe even on the cusp, they're losing classes, they're losing teachers, they don't have enough staff in those as well. So I don't think we should say it's actual areas, because just like they're north of the river are not being sufficed, south of the river are not being sufficed, east of the county is not being sufficed, west of the county is not being sufficed. So it's an overall issue. It's not just north of the river. And I think if we're able to start the ball rolling somewhere and get pilots going in some places, then we'll be able to spread that abroad. But if we had the bank account to do all of that, I would love to see Brainerd keep broadcasting, just like I would love to see Sail Creek get their teachers that they need. But we don't have the money for that.
Algebra.
I mean, we don't have.
Hello.
We don't have algebra 2 at Brainerd High School. So what I'm saying is there are deficits everywhere. So you can't just say it's in one place. And so I think the public needs to be aware that although there are deficits north of the river, there are deficits everywhere. And so we need to work on that everywhere. But I do know, in doing some research of my own, I just wanted HR or maybe Christy to speak to that, that it's best practice for teacher recruitment in these areas where the schools are low performing, that you have to give them some type of incentive, or we wouldn't have the teachers that we do have there.
Yes, Ms. Mosley.
You're correct, and we have seen more of an impact in retention of our strong teachers in these schools than we have necessarily in recruiting. Of course, you know, that helps for recruiting too. But these incentives are actually performance-based, so it's not just additional money given to the teachers, but it's performance-based, and there is an attendance goal they have to meet for the teachers and for the students. So there's an incentive to get the kids to school, too. There are testing and performance incentives that the teachers have to meet, and everyone in the school, whether you're in a tested grade or a non-tested grade, has the ability to earn some type of performance incentive. And we have seen a tremendous increase in the retention at these schools. For example, Eastside Elementary has been a recipient of quite a few performance payouts over the last couple years. As it stands right now, since the hiring season began in January, they have one vacancy. They've only advertised one vacancy this entire hiring season. People aren't leaving Eastside. And we're seeing a decrease in teachers transferring out of some of these priority schools. So I really do think it has been beneficial.
Dr. Highlander.
I think it's real important that we meet their needs. There's a young lady that taught at Orchard Knob, and she went to Webb School, very good private school in Knoxville, and she was fabulous. I was at a workshop with her, and she said, "I'm going into the military." She's going, a very intelligent young lady, and she was the things she was doing with the kids were absolutely fabulous, and it hurt me. I mean, I kind of tried to talk her out of it, but I want to commend both of our teams on the MOU, both the teacher team and you guys that worked in the administration team, very much. Our teacher's been a long time without anything, and I want to commend my fellow board members. Forget it's not a large raise, but I think you're giving them a little bit, and I appreciate it very much. I will say, Mr. Kilbride was very persuasive in talking about how wonderful it was, and it is, that a good high school student can come and go to Volkswagen making $35,000 with a wonderful benefit package, and that's great. But our beginning teachers of the bachelor's make less than $37,000 the first 3 years. And quite often, if they go to a public school, they're going to have $15,000 to $30,000 in debt quite often, or to a private school, $30,000 to $75,000 in debt. And so the other systems around us are getting way, way, way ahead of us. And if we really want to get the best and the brightest, we need to meet their needs. We need to hire earlier than we are now. And we need to revamp our system where we can hire earlier. But thank you all, and I'm sorry I took so much time, but thank all involved. Thank you very much.
Ms. Levine?
Please feel free. I feel like I've left you out. We haven't asked you questions, but if you would like to answer one, feel free.
Dr. Martin?
I got a question with regard to this budget, and I'm not going to be voting for the budget tonight for the reasons I stated earlier. But my question for you is, when we look at taking, is it 1.2 out of the fund balance?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And there's been a lot of numbers that are thrown around about the fund balance. Can you tell us the undesignated and the designated fund balance?
The undesignated fund balance is right around $37 million. And the total fund balances are right around $59 million. The designated fund balances are the reason that they, you know, that we ought to say that they cannot be spent is in some cases for legal reasons, in some cases for restriction reasons. For example, if we receive funds for grants and they are only to be spent for that purpose, we cannot spend those. They have to be put in a restricted fund balance. If we have encumbered funds, for example, you know, when we buy things at the end of the year, mm-hmm. and the items have been ordered but they haven't been received or paid for, that purchase order is a contract. We're obligated for that amount. We're not allowed to spend that money on something else. It has to be restricted. And there are items like even inventory, you know, which is toilet paper and light bulbs, you know, that is considered part of your restricted fund balance. So there's things that if fund balance is not cash, there are things that are in there that are
so
not.
So let me
cash.
Recap in here and let me say what I think I'm hearing you say. We have 22,000 in designated and we have 37,000 in undesignated.
Million.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Was so the true answer is 37 and 22 is a total of 59 on that, and I think there needs to be some clarity about that. Now, my question about the 37 is, how much money does the law require us to keep in fund balance of undesignated? Is it 3% of our budget?
Yes, you're referring to the state
yes.
minimum recommended, mm-hmm. the state minimum level, and that is correct. However, that is not operationally sound. There is not that is not fiscally responsible. The feds have changed the way that they do grants now, and so in a lot of cases, the big dollars that we get on grants, for example, Title I and some of the larger ones, you're required to spend those funds up front and do a reimbursement request. So we've got to have enough cash up front to pay the bills and send it off to the federal government before we ever get reimbursement on that. So 3% would never, ever make it. And then the other thing that has happened to us in the past, even when we had I think it was about a 7 or 8% fund balance, this has been several years ago, we had gotten to the point where we had to borrow money from the county. It's called a tax anticipation note. And the county charges us interest, and so we're required to go back to the school board and ask for an additional appropriation to increase our budget so that we can pay interest to the county for, you know, for funds borrowed.
So my question is this. The law says 3%, I'm going to say 12 million. Practically, you're saying that it needs to be something north of that. And right now, we're at about 9%. Is that an accurate statement?
I believe it's closer to, between 9 and 10%. That sounds about right.
Is this the highest percentage that it's been?
Yes, sir.
Well, this is the third straight year that we've had a budget that has been approved being balanced with fund balance. Yeah. Wasn't that balance closer to 40 2 to 3 years ago?
I don't have those figures on the top of my head, but I could look that up. But our percentage is close to what you were stating of the undesignated portion.
And then I just wanted to make an observation, and this is one of the reasons why I don't like the way that we do business when it comes to putting a budget together. Just a mere few days ago when we adopted our budget, we said that charter schools, which is something that we have no control over, that we were going to have to spend $1.4 million. Miraculously, when we revise this, because we're having to revise this and balance this, we're getting the report now that we're looking at this going from 185 to 125. I don't understand how that can drop that far that fast on projections. Help me understand that. Did somebody decide to close a school in the last 30 days? Did someone decide that they weren't going to expand? How did we anticipate that it would be this number? And now after we've been told, well, we're not going to get the tax money, now that we're going to say we're going to revise it and say, well, we think the charter number is going to be this. Help me understand that.
I have been combing through the budget all along during our work sessions. And we started working on this budget back in February. So we had our first meeting right at the end of February, first of March. So we've been working on this budget for months. When we first received when we first started working on the budget, we requested estimates from each of the charter schools. Okay, but that was 3 months ago now, a little bit longer than 3 months ago that we requested those estimates. So estimates are going to change. I mean, you're going to notice several numbers on here that have changed, but I feel like as soon as I get better information, the board deserves better information. I always try to get our estimates as close as we possibly can, but when I get updated information, I want you to have updated information.
So is what I'm hearing you, and I appreciate that, and I don't mean to sound catty. Forgive me. Did we get an update that it was going to drop from 185 to 125 in the last 3 weeks? Or did that update come to us sooner?
I think he's referring to where it says estimated student increase 185 and it was revised down to 125 and you said that was updated. When we met with you individually, you said that had been updated and there was not going to be the enrollment amount had decreased.
Right. As we are looking at this right now, and that's why I'm bringing it to you now, mm-hmm. we have combed through everything. But when I gave you the initial budget, 4 months ago, it was as good as it could get 4 months ago. I have updated information now.
And I guess my question is when did we get this updated that it was going from 185 to 125? Because when we voted on the budget 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago that we voted on it, we were voting on a budget that we were anticipating 185, correct?
Yes, sir. What?
So my question is that when did we get the information in the last 4 weeks that it was going to go from – did we get the information in the last 4 weeks is my question.
Okay.
That it was going to go from 185 to 125? Yeah. Because we're seeing that now in this –
right.
Proposal that's revised.
Right.
See my question?
What we have done subsequently, mm-hmm. okay, is we have combed through everything that we have received this year. We have looked at what the charter school's current enrollment is, and we looked at how they estimated at the beginning of last year versus how the enrollment is actually turning out this year. And what we found is the initial enrollment estimates that they gave us last year were a little bit too high. So we anticipate that the same thing is going to happen again now. But we won't know for sure what their enrollment is until we know what our enrollment is. And so we don't know that really until the 20th day. I mean, you might say the 10th day, but enrollment is a figure that you won't receive accurately for a while. And then even when you get on the 10th or 20th day, Then you have to go and weight those figures the second, third, sixth, and seventh months using the state's weighting, because they don't pay you on enrollment, you know, on starting enrollment. However, we all have to hire teachers based on starting enrollment.
I understand every bit of that. I really do. That's not my question, though. My question is that we had an estimate, and it's really more of a rhetorical, illustrative question, is that my challenge with how we do our budget is that we were under the impression when we voted on this budget here a few weeks ago that we were looking at 185 estimated, and now it's 125. And I'm just asking, when did we get that information of a drop of a third?
Christy, 2 weeks ago we were looking through the budget, Christy and I saw that charter school. I'm over charter schools. We've gone back 2 years previous. Both years they overestimated. We feel they're going to overestimate. They have overestimated again. We dropped it.
So I guess my question is, why didn't, if we feel that way now?
I did not look at it until 2 weeks ago with Christy. Not even 2 weeks ago, it was less than that. When I noticed it, we went back, we looked the previous 2 years, we dropped it. That was my doings.
Okay.
Dr. Highlander.
Quick question, Christy. This will be a little bit easier, I hope. how much money do we need to retain out of the undesignated funding? Are we not supposed to be able to fund our salaries for the figure that sticks in my mind is 3 months. Is that correct? To be fiscally sound, how much of this do we need to retain in case the tax rolls come in slowly or whatever? To be wise, what do we need to hang on to?
I went back and reviewed the best practices in the industry, which in our industry is Government Finance Officers Association. And they recommend a minimum level of 2 months. We watch our cash pretty heavily. You know, we watch it, regularly. And so we have not gotten our fund balance up to 2 months yet. We're about at a five-week runoff. And when that becomes important is because we don't receive our revenues evenly throughout the year, and especially property tax, which comes in primarily the very end of December and the very end of February, then come October, November, we really have to start watching it on a practically daily basis.
Well, let me follow up, too, with something that I think Dr. Martin said, maybe Ms. Thurman. If we, hypothetically, I think it was Ms. Thurman, if we go to all away from block schedule to traditional, instead of a teacher teaching 3/4 of the day in a high school, teaching 7/8 of the day. So it'll cut the number of teacher needs, the smaller planning times. How much would that save us? And if, well, I want to know, let me rephrase. That'd be hard to know right now. What would we do with that money if hypothetically, say this board voted to go to all traditional schedule, what would we do with that money, that savings? Would we pass it on to teachers, programs, or whatever?
We'd have to decide what to do with that.
So we have several things like that we might could look at maybe to improve the budget happenings, I would hope. But thank you very much.
To piggyback on that, Christy, if that was the case, I mean, option one passes, or what, option two, whichever budget passes, and we decide to look at changing from block to traditional, so forth and so on, and even some of these numbers change, that money just falls back into the pot, right? Okay, and then at that point, we can decide as a board what to do with that, correct?
Right.
Okay, also, going back to when Dr. Highlander was asking about the money to have in the reserve to be able to sustain us as a business, you mentioned that we have about 5 weeks of that on reserve. That is to sustain this entire department, lights, water, buildings, employees,
right.
Everything, right?
Right.
Okay, I just want to make sure that the public understands that as well, because they hear that a lot, that we have this $59 million. We do have $59 million, but technically we don't, and Dr. Martin has broken that down to how that breaks up. Right. And along with that, that's about 5 weeks worth of, I'm just saying this so the public understands once again, that's about 5 weeks worth of survival for Hamilton County Department of Education to be standing and not close down. Is
good
that correct?
Explanation. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Ms. Thurman and then Mr. Testerman.
Chrissy, How much does it take to run the school a day? It's well over $1 million. It was $1 million years ago. How much is it now?
It is. It's just the general purpose operating budget. It's up to almost $2 million a day. Close to it.
Whoa.
If you just look at the. Right.
Okay. Another thing. TIF grant money. I want everybody to notice. It says the TIF grant ends 6/30. 2016. This, ladies and gentlemen, is how we get ourselves in a hole. We get these grants. We give out this money. The grant runs out. We pick it up. This is how we get in a mess. We have done it for years and years, and some of these grants are millions of dollars, but this is how it happens. We start out. We get used to it. We continue. We keep it up, and that's how we get in this mess. We get right down here to maintenance and repairs, still $1 million. That should be way more than $1 million. Way more than $1 million. That's why we need to find some money in the budget that we already have to put back in maintenance. That is chump change right there for a maintenance budget. I mean, that's ridiculous. We really need a lot more than $1 million.
It's $3 million in the capital maintenance and repair budget, and then there's more in the regular maintenance. This was a request. We were requesting an additional amount.
Well, that's still not near enough because of all of the things. Like I say, if we could save money elsewhere, we need to put a lot more money in maintenance.
Okay. Any more?
I just have a comment. I love Caritza's. Caritza's talking about putting money back in the pot. That's the way I'd say it too, Caritza, where it goes. But let me tell you something. We can't ever have enough money in there. My second year on the board, I went over to East Lake, which at that time was one of my schools, East Lake Elementary. And the first day of school, they had 150 more kids show up than they were anticipating. We had to hire 5 new teachers. I mean, that money didn't just come out of the air. We've got to have something there to take care of things like that. And you don't know when that's going to happen or where it's going to happen. So we got to be understanding. Things come up all the time that we, you know, I appreciate Christy. This is a juggling act you're doing all the time. I can't imagine. But anyway, you're doing a great job. I appreciate it. But I wanted to say that.
Mr. Testerman.
Again, I'd just like to say, Christy and Lee, thank you for answering questions that I had. You fulfilled my needs. And I just ask, you know, folks on the board, if you got questions, call these folks anytime. I mean, it's... Get your answers. Because I've got my answers. I think you've got a good budget. I think it's hard work that you've been doing. And I know it's not easy to do. And one of the hardest things for folks to do, and whether you're a school principal or teachers, understand, you can't spend money that you don't have. And I know that's your goal, to help us not to spend money that we don't have. I'd like to move this question and let's vote on it.
Mr. Ricks and Dr. Highlander, and then we will call for the question.
And I was just wondering, did we have a motion already on the floor?
Yes. We did, yes.
Okay, good. Thank you, Christy, and David, the job you did, Almond job, did a great job.
I have a couple of quick budget questions. It's very, very short. On the charter schools, do we provide transportation for them?
No.
Now, Durham does, though, correct? Right. Okay. I wasn't aware of any of the contract drivers that did. Problem I'm seeing in my district is that in the Birchwood area, quite a few people, it's closer to Sail Creek, is that right, Ms. Thurman, than it is to either Ulwa or to Central? And they have been told that they're cutting to one bus next year, and this is what parents are told, and they said it's a financial problem. With Durham, they can't find enough drivers to provide two buses from Birchwood. Have you heard anything about that, Ms. Thurman?
Yes, I have.
And so I'm just concerned that, you know, they're using our facility
Dr. McDade, you were shaking your head that's not true.
I have not heard that, and that is something I can certainly check on and get word to the board.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, right. That's not a problem new with Durham. I've had drivers in my schools at Eastside, and they had to substitute drivers, And sometimes they couldn't get a substitute driver. They had to call another one back. So when Durham contract come around, that's something that we really need to discuss.
Or difficult routes are hard to keep drivers on.
We're on a budget discussion, not a busing discussion right now. We had a motion by Mr. Galloway, I believe, to approve, and a second by Mr. Testerman. Is that correct? Roll call, Ms. Ford.
Mr. Galloway.
Yes.
Dr. Highlander.
Yes.
Ms. Horn.
Yes.
Dr. Martin.
No.
Ms. Mosley.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
Mr. Testerman.
Yes.
Ms. Thurman.
No.
Chairman Welch.
No. Next on our agenda, each of us received from attorney Mr. Bennett, who Ms. Camp is here in his stead tonight, a RFP request for proposals for superintendent search firms. There is one question that I've had is that we did not put a dollar figure associated. That was done so that we see what is proposed to us, frankly, as it was outlined with the scope of the work. Do we have a motion in a second for this RFP to be approved to go out?
So moved.
We have a motion by Dr. Martin, a second by Ms. Mosley. Discussion?
I just want everybody to be aware, this is the cheapest part of a superintendent search. It'll probably come in, I don't know, the last one we did was probably around 35,000 dollars that it cost us. Well, some of them, by the time we pay them off, it's a lot more than that. But this is really the cheapest part of a superintendent search. So I don't want people to say, well, it's just 35,000, because I think the last time, Christian, I'd like those figures, how much we spent for the last superintendent search. I would be real surprised if it wasn't up around $100,000. By the time we paid for all the candidates to come in, we paid their overnight stay, we paid all the meetings in all 9 districts, and we paid for all of the meetings and the meet and greets that we had at the Chattanooga and the Trade Center and all of that. So I want the board to be aware. I guess we have money in the budget somewhere for that.
I looked that up today. You were absolutely on the nose about the firm
Zatia.
Cost $35,000, and that was Hazard Young Atiyah and Associates, and this was in 2006. The total that we ended up spending was $66,993. And like you said, part of that was because, candidate travel and board member travel and a variety of things like that. And advertising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet.
So you said it wound up being how much?
$66,993.
I bet it was more than that. I bet there's some other things that were put somewhere else. But, I mean, that's okay. But that's close enough. I just want the board to know that the superintendent search is the cheapest part of this whole endeavor.
Mr. Martin, do you have any? There's no further discussion. Roll call, Ms. Ford.
Mr. Galloway.
Yes.
Dr. Highlander.
Yes.
Ms. Horn.
Yes.
Dr. Martin.
Yes.
Ms. Mosley.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
Mr. Testerman.
No.
Ms. Thurman.
Yes.
Chairman Welch.
Yes. Is this a special called session? No business will be further done. Our work session is next Thursday, June the 9th at 5 o'clock. We stand adjourned.